We're going to go ahead and dig into Acts, you know, with the series we're going through in the book of Acts, with life in the Spirit. And as I have done, I'm going to ask you to eventually stand up. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 25, in a message about free to follow. So, if you have your Bibles or your phones or whatever it is, and you want to, please stand as we read from Acts chapter 5. Beginning at verse 17. It reads like this. Then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go stand in the temple courts, he said. And tell the people all about this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priest were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, "Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You can all be seated. Thank you very much. A couple months ago, as we do every year in July, we celebrated our Independence Day, July 4th. Many of us, when we get to Independence Day, it's just a day of gathering together, of picnics, of families getting together, you know, shooting off bottle rockets or, you know, those illegal fireworks in Oregon that go flying through the air and all the noise and that goes with it. But many times we don't really stop and think a whole lot about independence and what it means for us. It's just a day when we can get a day off, we can gather, we can have picnics, we can eat. At some point, hopefully, during that day, you stop and you take a moment to at least appreciate the freedom that you have. Now, for some people, and there's a different idea of what freedom is all about. For some, this idea of freedom, it means being free to do their own thing. Others believe that it means freedom to accumulate personal possessions rather than everything belonging to the government and everyone sharing it. Still others would say that freedom is simply the right to be who you are. Now, these aren't right or wrong necessarily, but what really is the point of freedom? Why did God allow the United States of America to separate from England and from British rule and become one of the most prosperous and powerful nations in the last couple centuries? And I know that not everyone will agree on this point, but I believe that God made America a free nation, and he has blessed her and blessed us so abundantly that more people would come to know him as their forgiver and as their leader. More missionaries and more missionary dollars and relief funds have gone out from this country than any other country. In fact, more dollars have gone out from this country than several other countries put together. God has blessed America so that America could be a blessing. God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. Unfortunately, there is much sin that is going on in America. We need to be praying for our nation now more than ever, that we as a people will turn to the one who made us and ask him to forgive us and to help us. But how does all of that relate to our scripture this morning? Well, God gave the apostles this freedom from the prison that they were put in overnight, so that they could keep doing what it is that he wanted them to do. And God wants us to do the exact same thing in our lives. And this is the main truth, the main idea for us this morning. And that is that God gives us freedom so that we can be free to follow his plan for our lives. So let's look at a few areas in our lives where freedom can be more than just a song. The first area is we can find freedom from the past. You see, there is no more guilt. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 17, it says, those who became Christians became new persons. They are not the same anymore. For the old life is gone, a new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did. You see, regardless of your past, what you have said, what you have done, where you have been, we can find forgiveness and freedom by repenting, by trusting Jesus to take care of it and to wash it all away. See, there is no sin that is too big for God to forgive. Listen to the kinds of people that the Apostle Paul was writing to in the Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 9, it says, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You see, God, he forgives the sins of the past. When we humbly come to him and ask him to forgive us, he will do that. He will wash away all of the past and he will make us clean. He will allow us to come into this right relationship with him. There is a story that when the Moravian missionaries first went to the Eskimos, they could not find a word in the Eskimo language to translate for forgiveness. And so they had to come up with this compounded word, a bunch of words put together, and it turned out to look like this. Anybody care to take a shot at it so I don't have to? I even put how the pronunciation is underneath it. Anybody? I tried it on Nicholas earlier. He actually did pretty good on it. It's Isuma Jujung Naner Mik. Isuma Junjung Naner Mik. Basically, I only have it because I've listened to it all week long. There, you can actually go online, you can push a button, and it'll pronounce it for you, and over 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 again. And I even did this morning several times, and I wrote it down how I heard it, not how it says it up there, but Isuma Junjung Naner Mik. Naner Mik. Yeah, something like that. It's a beautiful word when you think of what it actually means. Now, it's hard, impossible for us to say. It basically means not being able to think about it anymore. Not being able to think about it anymore. You see, God does not think about our sins anymore after we confess and we repent them. How far does he remove our sins away from us? Well, in Psalms chapter 103 at verse 12, it says, he has removed our rebellious acts as far away from us as the east is from the west. Now, we may bring up our past. As humans, we're not able to necessarily forget them, and we continually mull over them. The enemy, the adversary, Satan, he will try to continue to remind you of those. But God will never, ever rub your face in the failures of your past. Someone said, when the devil reminds you of your past, you need to remind him of his future. You see, we can have freedom from our past, but we can also find freedom to live in today, in the here and now. We can find freedom in the present where there is no more bondage. And the first place that we can find that freedom is from bondage and from a sinful lifestyle. In Galatians chapter 5 at verse 19, it says, "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful desires, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, division, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sins. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom of God." But when a person turns to the Lord Jesus Christ and surrenders to Him, the Ten Commandments, they are no longer out of reach. You see, a sinful lifestyle involves breaking one or more of the commandments. However, with God's help, when we're following Jesus, we can worship Him only. We can avoid idolatry. We can honor His name rather than abusing it. We can set aside a day of rest and honor the Lord. We can honor our parents. We can avoid taking another person's life. We can stay sexually pure. We can avoid taking what does not belong to us. And we can tell the truth. And finally, we can learn to be content with what is that we have. Not coveting, not desiring what belongs to someone else. God wants to set us free from a sinful lifestyle. And He will set us free if we would only ask Him to. But you see, and today we can also be set free from personal addictions. Unfortunately, there are many people in our world who become slaves to things that take more than what a person is willing to give. And it takes them further down the road than they ever wanted to go. There's no shortage of things to be addicted to. Some of the common addictions might include alcohol, drugs, tobacco, pornography, sexual addictions, there's food addictions. There's such a thing as a shopping addiction. Some people, when they get really, really depressed and stuff, all they have to do is go out and buy something and everything's right with the world. Let's not forget caffeine or sugar addictions. It seems there's no limit to the addictions that people allow themselves to be bound to. Sports addictions. Now, I know it's easy for someone like me to stand up here and to tell you God can set you free from whatever your addiction is. But when it comes to working it all out, when it comes to putting the rubber to the road, most of you feel like you're left high and dry. Well, how do I do it? Let me just give you a couple things that might be helpful as you battle an addiction. First, I'm going to say what you probably expect me to say, and that is prayer. Prayer can help you overcome an addiction. But the trouble with this claim is that it doesn't work the same for everybody. I've known people who have prayed or who have been prayed for, and they immediately, at that moment, overcame whatever addiction it was. God touched them and miraculously delivered them from whatever it is that they were in bondage to. Alcoholics becoming sober and never wanting another drink again after that. Just a moment in the presence of God. People who go and get physically sick when they've been prayed for so that they never smoke another cigarette, and God releases them instantly. So what I'd say is, first of all, pray. And if it doesn't happen in that moment right then and there, don't give up. Keep on praying. Never underestimate the power of God to break the power of an addiction in your life. Well, second, let's talk about someone who has been praying and they've been trying for years to break an addiction, and somehow it just has this death grip on them. It will not let them go. Is there any hope for them? Do they just have to live with it? When prayer doesn't seem to bring the deliverance, what can a person do? In a word, addictive behavior can be overcome by support. Now, what do I mean by support? I mean that you have an open and an honest relationship with a person or maybe a small group of people, ones who will not judge you. They love you in spite of your addiction. These are the people that you can be totally honest with. You can be completely transparent with them. You can bear your soul to them. It's humbling. And yet at the same time, it can be very freeing. In the body of Christ, the church, it should really be one great big support group where people find healing from their hurts and from their addictions. However, all too often, those who have the greatest need to find this acceptance and this love, they don't always find it in the church. They find ridicule and shun, hate. Let's make it a point to allow Richmond Community Church, our body of believers here, that we are going to be a church that will love people and accept them just the way they are. If someone comes in who is living in sin, remember what Paul said to the Corinthians, and such were some of you. We've all gone through our own struggles, our own addictions, our own problems. See, they will not be drawn to a Jesus who frowns and scowls at them. They will not be drawn to a Jesus who expects them to go and to clean up their act and to get everything together before they even show themselves in God's house. However, they will be drawn to the Jesus who was a friend of sinners when he walked the face of this earth. Let's show hurting people what Jesus is really like. And then they will come to be healed, and they can be set free. And finally, after being freed from the past and being able to live free in the present, we can find total freedom in the future, where there is no more sorrow, no more pain. The day is coming when Jesus will return to this earth to claim those who love him, those who are following after him and according to his plan. You see, there are some people who make this mistake of thinking that everybody's going to get to go to heaven. After all, how could such a loving God, such a loving Father, send anybody to hell? Well, the Bible is very clear that heaven is only for those whose hearts are right with God, who have accepted Jesus Christ and are following after him. Romans chapter 10 at verse 9, it says, if you confess with your heart that Jesus is Lord, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, just calling him Lord with your mouth is not enough. He must be the Lord of your actions as well. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 at verse 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? In Matthew 7:21, he says, not all people who sound religious are really godly. They may refer to me as Lord, but they still won't enter the kingdom of heaven. The decisive issue is whether they obey my Father in heaven. You see, we can find total freedom when our life is over at the end of our lives, but only if we are trusting in Jesus for our salvation. And we are aiming to do what it is that God wants us to do. When you boil it all down, get it as simple as you can. Love is the greatest commandment. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, God wants us to learn to love the way that he loves. And that'll bring freedom to our lives, as well as to many other people around us. Love does no wrong to another person. Love seeks the best for others. Love compels us to share the good news of God's grace and His forgiveness, knowing that without it, our family and our friends will not make heaven. Romans chapter 8, verse 21 says, all creation anticipates the day when it will join God's creation, God's children, in glorious freedom from death and decay. And that day is coming. We don't know when because it's not ours to know. Our job in the here and now, today, right now, is to live free in Jesus Christ and to help others find that exact same freedom. We have been set free in order to obey God, sharing His great love and compassion to everyone around us. The apostles in the scripture we read this morning, they were set free so that they could go back into the temple courts and to teach the people about Jesus. Our freedom is not our own. Our lives belong to the one who has freed us from our past, the one who was with us in the present, and the one who will be with us for all of eternity. Today, if you need to experience the freedom of God's forgiveness, He can set you free from the past, from whatever it is that has its grip on you, wherever it is that you have been, whatever you have done. Whatever it is you're dealing with today, bring it to God. He can handle it. He's bigger than any problem that we're facing, any struggle that we are going through. Nothing will shock God. He already knows everything about you. He knew all about you even before you were formed in your mother's womb. He loves you just the way you are. And He wants to help you become the free person that He has created you to be. Are you willing to live in that freedom? Free from your past, free to live today and looking into all of eternity.